This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Thank you. Alrighty, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, y'all. Welcome to day number 12 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. It's amazing, as always, to have you guys join in early, mashallah. Many of you, mashallah, have gotten into the groove of things. I see Abdu from Italy, jazakumullah khair. Akinwande from Nigeria, Alani from the Philippines, Angela from Canada, where in Canada? Anna from Manila. We've got Aziza from Trinidad and Tobago, Brother Uthman, of course, from Nigeria. Let me get those cameras on. I've just activated your abilities to turn them on as well. Jazakumullah khair once again for being our consistent crew joining us before we officially start for our daily sessions for Ramadan 360. Shout out to Hajra, I think first person who popped up on my screen, Brother Hassan, Sister Bilkis, Aisha, Carrie, Shefa. I feel like we've memorized your names by now. Mashallah, tabarakallah. With that, we're jumping into our session today. And I'm excited. I was hyped yesterday when I was telling you and I was introducing you guys to our topic. Our topic is conviction. And our speaker is Sister Sarah Sultan, who is our latest female instructor here at Al Maghrib Institute. You guys may have had the opportunity and the blessing of being able to benefit from Sister Sarah in previous, bonus sessions or experiences. She's a licensed mental health counselor and a licensed professional counselor, mashallah. So she brings a really beautiful, a really unique perspective to our gatherings and to our the topics that Al Maghrib teaches, whether it's on the fiqh of women, whether it's about marriage and divorce, whether it's about mental health issues, whether it's about death and dying and loss and grief. Mashallah, she has, mashallah, just really revitalized the audience and really brought a really unique perspective, alhamdulillah, to our learning experience. So I'm really excited for you guys to experience her. Honestly, I think she's one of the few things that got me through COVID, mashallah, listening to her videos and her talks and her reassurances in the way that she kind of reframes a lot of unhealthy thought patterns and makes them, kind of in line with the deen and the way that we should think. Alhamdulillah. And I love many of you who've probably benefited already, her contribution to the Inside Out, Outside In course with Al Maghrib Institute. We have a course on mental health in Islam, again, that we launched in COVID because of the crisis that was kind of happening within the community. And it's on the Islamic solutions for mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. I hope that you guys have had a chance to benefit. If not, look out for it in the future. But she is an incredible speaker. So I can't wait for you guys to see what you have in store with Sister Sarah Sultan. And I love that it's a duo today. Alhamdulillah, we have two female speakers, Sister Thamia, who is our second female Al Maghrib instructor, and Sister Sarah, who's our latest. And look out for her on site, because inshallah, she's going to be launching in that realm as well, inshallah, in the States and hopefully globally. So keep an eye out later this year, hopefully, for her first course launch with Al Maghrib on site as well. For those who aren't familiar, just FYI, I know Ramadan 360 brings a very diverse audience. Sometimes it's our OG folks who are kind of really familiar with Al Maghrib experiences, who take classes throughout the year, who might be all access pass students, who take every single class throughout the year, or who, you know, have just been following us for on-site or through virtual classes or through Quran Revolution or Faith Essentials. A lot of the amazing programs that Al Maghrib makes possible, with our mission always having been to make Islam easy and accessible and to reach people where they are and to give them access to Islamic knowledge in the way that's relatable and accurate and interesting and educational and a little bit entertaining as well, alhamdulillah. So what Sister Sarah Sultan, the class that I just mentioned, she teaches is an online on-demand class. So for those who aren't familiar, on-demand classes are a way to kind of study in-depth topics at your own pace. Each course is professionally recorded and edited down. It's cut down into more concise sections of enriching lessons that are a little bit easier to absorb. And then they have bonus sessions as well as live Q&A sessions with the instructor who taught the class, or the multiple instructors, if it's a multiple instructor class, who give you kind of answers to questions that you may not have had clarity from, that were maybe a bit more of a personal application of the class content, or just more nitty gritty into specific scenarios that come up over time. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of recorded classes that we have made available through Al Maghrib Online. And we're really proud internally of the quality of the experience. And you guys have made that possible. I remember back in the day, there was somebody who donated the first kind of set of cameras that we utilized for our pre-COVID classes. And we always make the offer that one individual who made that kind of journey possible for us. So jazakumullah khair for those who continue to make Al Maghrib part of your legacy and part of the benefit that you provide to the ummah. I see so many folks who are still joining in. So welcome, welcome, welcome. For those who are coming into our session for day number 12 of Ramadan 360 with Sister Sara Sultan. Of course, I just introduced her. We'll do another run through, inshallah, for those who are not familiar. But it's great to have you guys back. I think we've, at this point, I was thinking, I had a dream last night, which is, I think this is a safe one to share, where I was sleeping. And for some reason, I couldn't, you know, I woke up right before the session. I couldn't unmute myself. So I unmuted you guys and you guys were making the plugs for me. I can't remember who it was who was making it, but I was like, one person was talking about Give Daily and one person was talking about the Hajj program. And one person, so I was like, Ragad, I know you were one of them. That was that I do recall. But it was just really funny. I think you were talking about Give Daily. So it's so ingrained in my psyche now that this is Ramadan 360 overdose in the best way possible. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So once again, if you're joining us as a return student, make sure, please, that you do share the link with others if you've been benefiting from this community and you start thinking, you know, remembering us in your dreams as well. Make sure that you continue that barakah and share with your loved ones and your families. Of course, they can go through the recordings of previous sessions and they can continue to benefit. Obviously, we have jam-packed a couple of weeks ahead of us as well. I hope that you guys have been enjoying the 10-day Quran challenge with Imam Wissam Sharif. That's been amazing, alhamdulillah. And that you're looking forward to our webinar tomorrow on O You Who Believe, kicking off at 1 p.m. EST. We're excited to inshallah have that topic and have 13 instructors giving you really inspiring content to push you through this middle kind of slump of Ramadan and to give you that extra little dose of motivation, inshallah. But with that, I do want us to get us started. I'm very excited for us to jump into today's topic, inshallah. Of yaqeen, of conviction, alhamdulillah. And just a reminder, as with every session, to please support the folks who make Ramadan 360 possible year after year. I know I've just been sharing some of their names. I'm looking forward to sharing more of the work that they do on the ground. But for now, just so that you're kind of given that consistent reminder and that you're keeping them in your du'as and your donations, is the USA partner, of course, HHRD, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. Please continue donating generously to their campaigns, and please continue supporting Al-Maghrib as well through our Give Daily campaign, almaghrib.org/givedaily. And we hit our goal, alhamdulillah, of I think 750 we're at. So we gotta ramp it up, mashallah. The more folks, and I think it's easier now because we're kind of, the first 10 days are gone. So there's less days to give. So if you want to make sure that you're maximizing your efforts and you're making that automated as well, please make sure that you do sign up at almaghrib.org/givedaily. And that should be in your chat there as well. With that said, let us start to jump into the session. I think Sister Sara is with us. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to start jumping in, but I did mention for those who missed the intro and who missed my little chatting in the beginning of the session, that I would reintroduce and give you guys an opportunity to learn and to know Sister Sara a bit better. So for those who don't know, Sara Sultan is a licensed professional counselor and a licensed mental health counselor. She's obtained a master's degree in mental health counseling, and she's practiced therapy for over 10 years now, alhamdulillah. She's both a research fellow at Yaqeen Institute, a teacher at Mishka Institute, and now she's been one of our latest female instructors here at Maghrib, teaching online, teaching during these bonus experiences that we have through Ramadan 360 and others, and eventually, inshallah, coming down on site with us as well. She's got a commitment to her work and a fascination with the intersections between Islamic spirituality, psychology, and counseling. She brings a unique insight to the field of knowledge that we, alhamdulillah, facilitate. And it's really absolutely critical that we find for the Muslim community in the modern world to have access to this. Jazakumullah khair for being part of Ramadan 360 once again. Sister Sara Sultan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So nice to see you again, Hafsa. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, I am well. This is, of course, a very difficult and a strange Ramadan, I think, for the entire community, but we're all getting through it together. We're all trying to maximize the effort and the good that we can do as a collective, alhamdulillah, and we're looking forward to benefiting from you as well. So, Sara, how's your Ramadan been so far?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, I feel like this Ramadan was so needed this time around. You know, like, I know it doesn't have the same feel of, you know, the decorations and the you know, like the iftar, too many of those iftars and things like that. But just in terms of knowing that, you know, our da'at is being heard in such a strong way and that we can increase our worship and grow, we really needed it this year, alhamdulillah.
100%, alhamdulillah. And we have so many people who are now experiencing Ramadan for the first time, brought together because of all the the craziness and all the, you know, the difficulty that's happening around the world and the genocide that's happening. But alhamdulillah, there's good in every bad, in every difficulty. And we're here together to benefit from you today, Sister Sarah. So I want to jump into your topic of yakin, of conviction. I think that's so necessary right now. So let's jump right in and I will be there with you at the end to ask questions. Bismillah.
جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد جزاكم الله خيرا for joining us today, everyone. So happy to see you all here. Alhamdulillah. I think that this topic, the topic of nurturing yaqeen, nurturing conviction and certainty in our faith, is so timely, because this is what has drawn so many people to Islam right now, is witnessing the yaqeen and the faith that our brothers and sisters in Palestine have been showing us through social media, through their horrific experiences. And I, heads up, I keep touching this because these are my AirPods, because there's some noise in the background. So otherwise they fall out if I don't. So if you see me doing this, it's just because of that. But I was really excited to talk about this topic. I think that this is something that's really been showcased by our brothers and sisters in a very powerful way. And it's been something that has inspired us as Muslims and then a lot of people to learn more about Islam, to wonder what's the magic formula, subhanAllah, that has allowed people to undergo so much pain, hardship, suffering, tragedy, starvation, all of these death and dying and grief and trauma, and still turn and say that La ilaha illallah, or Hasbi Allah, that Allah is enough for me. It's incredible, subhanAllah, to see it. So I wanted to explore this topic with all of you today, the topic of how we can nurture conviction and certainty in our hearts. And the first thing I want to mention is that we naturally as human beings really struggle with uncertainty. We try to avoid it in our lives on a daily basis, right? Whenever I'm going to pick up my kids from school or whenever I'm driving them to school, I check the traffic, because I want to alleviate whatever uncertainty that I can. I want to check if there's an accident on the road that I see that there's a message that you're hearing. Yeah, there's somebody mowing the grass outside, which is why I have my AirPods in. Can you all hear me clearly?
We can hear you. The echo comes in and out, yeah. But alhamdulillah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Inshallah, I hope that the lawnmower will move, you know, a little bit closer to my neighbor's house, inshallah. So jazakallah khair. So as I was saying, you know, as human beings, struggling with uncertainty is something that's normal in our lives. We check the traffic report to see if we're, you know, gonna, how much time we have to allot to get to a daily destination. We check the weather on a daily basis to know what we should wear, what we should put our kids in. This is the nature of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our lives, is uncertainty. And a little bit of a struggle and some anxiety with uncertainty is normal, but uncertainty is inherent in every moment of the day, even if we don't realize it. Even if we don't realize that our lives are filled with uncertainty, they are. And so building uncertainty tolerance, the ability to tolerate uncertainty, is a psychological principle that is really, really important in our lives. Because the people who are able to embrace uncertainty, the people who learn not to fight uncertainty, the people who recognize that they're not in control of everything around them, everything in their lives, everything in the world, those are the people who are best able to cope and function in their lives. And that's what yaqeen offers us. That's what conviction offers us. It's an armor for our hearts. It literally means linguistically to be settled, to be locked in like a huge tree. If you've ever seen those huge old trees where the roots are so strong and they're so rooted in that even like concrete can't get in the way. Like the concrete's getting lifted, the concrete's getting broken through because they're so firm and stable. That's what yaqeen does for our hearts. It's an armor for our hearts so that circumstances can't break us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help increase us, nurture this yaqeen in all of our hearts. This is especially needed during moments that shake our faith. So during trials that we experience, that test whether we're going to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether we're going to turn away from Him. Having a sense of conviction and certainty gives us grounding. It gives us a solid, unshakable foundation. So even when everything else in our lives are shaking, that certainty that we hold in our hearts doesn't. And so we're going to explore how to nurture yaqeen, and we're going to do it through the Quran. And the way that I did this, in case you're all curious, I searched for the verses that have the word yuqinun in it, like those who are certain in their faith. those who have conviction in their faith and who have certainty, yuqinun. And so I looked up the different verses, and through that, I tried to find certain antidotes to uncertainty. So that's what we're going to explore together. But the foundation, the premise of being able to build uncertainty tolerance, to be able to tolerate uncertainty, the antidote is one thing. The antidote to uncertainty is having certainty in one thing, and that's having certainty in Allah. And having certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to have certainty in your personal abilities. You don't need to have certainty in the people in your life or in scientific research and whether it supports certain things or not. You don't have to have certainty in being able to make sense of the world, especially when things are so nonsensical. What we need is certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His promises. We need certainty that Allah knows and we don't know. Certainty that Allah gives us what's best. Certainty that Allah's plan is better than what we plan. Certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us what we need in order to handle the circumstances we face. Because these are the promises of Allah. And if we can have certainty in that, that's the grounding that we need to get through anything. To get through anything that we go through. So let's go through the antidotes. I'm going to talk about four different antidotes that stood out particularly to me. I encourage all of you to look through the Quran and find more verses that might resonate with you. But these are the four that really resonated, the four antidotes that really resonated with me. And these are the antidotes to uncertainty that I found that I found really powerful in the Quran. The first one, you see a verse in Surah Ar-Ra'd. This is the second verse in Surah Ar-Ra'd that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amdin tarawnaha. That it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who raised the heavens without pillars. That you can see that, right? Like you look at the sky and you see that there's nothing holding it up. Like today here in Houston, we had a day filled with just blue skies, no clouds. And subhanAllah, it's blue as far as you can see. And that's in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah 13, Ayah 2. And nothing's holding it up, subhanAllah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And then He established Himself on the throne. وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected the sun and the moon. كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And everyone is orbiting for its appointed time. So that every day is 24 hours. Every year is 365 days. That the moon goes through its cycle of the new moon to the crescent to the full moon, right? We experience this every month. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the verse saying, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبَّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ. So here, تُوقِنُونَ is the word that stands out. That He makes the signs clear so that you may be certain of the meeting with your Lord. That you may be certain, having this certainty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says now in Surah Al-Jathiyah, this is Surah number 45, verses 3 to 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That indeed, in the skies and the heavens and the earth, there are signs for the believers. وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّةِ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمِ يُقِنُونَ. Again, يُقِنُونَ in this verse. And in the creation of yourselves, in the creation of yourselves, and what He disperses of moving creatures are signs for people who are certain in faith, who have certainty, are signs for people who have yaqeen. So what's the lesson that I personally withdrew? What's the antidote that I personally withdrew from these verses? Is to search for the signs of Allah. When you search for the signs of Allah, you will find things that amaze you. You will find things that there's no way that they could have been created except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look for things that amaze you. Look for things that connect you to your creator, that instill gratitude in your heart, that instill awe in your eyes and in your heart as you look at nature. As you look at here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even in the creation of yourselves are signs for people who have certainty, for people who have yaqeen, where you look at the things that your body is capable of. Right, recently, just the past couple of days, I had a cough, like a bad cough. And it makes you appreciate those moments of being able to take in a deep breath and exhale it in ease. The things that you take for granted, subhanAllah, right? So these are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you learn about the amazing creation of Allah, and that helps to instill yaqeen and nurture yaqeen in our hearts. So looking for the signs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in these verses. And you know, in psychological research, there is so much research, a huge body of research about the benefits of being in nature. There was one study that used neuroimaging, so taking pictures of the brain scans, that showed that people who took a walk in nature versus people who took a walk in an urban environment, like a city environment, that there was a much lower activation in the brain area that's responsible for fear and threat, which means that they feel restored, they feel calm, they're more attentive, they're less depressed, they're less anxious, right? So we see even in this are signs for those who believe. Right? Listening to the birds. I see somebody typing something about birds here. Listening to the birds and knowing that every tweet that you hear, every bird song that you hear is them praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fine for those who believe. Right? So all of these are things that we should look at. And then when you can transform this into a gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's powerful. That's very powerful. And that also helps to increase us in certainty. When you are able to look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a lens of gratitude and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, you are more and more certain of your connection and your relationship with Him, subhanAllah. There was another research study that I'll mention where there were a group, all the participants struggled with anxiety and depression. And in this, they split them all into three groups. All three groups received counseling. One of these groups was told to write a letter of gratitude to someone every week for 3 weeks. Another group was told to write about your deepest thoughts, your feelings, your negative experiences. And then the third group was given no writing activity. What they found was the ones who wrote gratitude letters reported a significant improvement in their mental health, not just after writing the letter, but for 4 weeks, 3 months after the writing exercise had ended. And so when you are grateful, it increases your mental health by shifting your attention away from more difficult emotions, things like resentment, things like envy, things like jealousy and sadness and all of these different emotions, because you're writing about your gratitude. This is an exercise where they're writing letters to people. Imagine how powerful this would be if you addressed these letters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine what that would be like, right? And so like being able to address this gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that link between you and Allah is another path to increasing us in certainty. So now, antidote number two, the one that I found in the Quran as well. So this verse is in Surah Al-Jathiyah. Again, Surah 45, this is verse 20 for anybody who wants to just make a note. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. That the Quran, this Quran is enlightenment for mankind and guidance and mercy for people who have yaqeen. That the Quran is enlightenment for us. And it's guidance and it's a mercy for us if we have faith, if we have conviction and certainty and yaqeen in our faith. So the antidote in this verse that I extrapolated, right, is to turn to the Quran and build a relationship with it. When you have a relationship with the Quran, when you have a relationship with the direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that helps to nurture certainty. That helps to nurture conviction. Because we live in a world that constantly pulls us in multiple directions. Everybody says, live your truth, right? But that's such a misleading statement, because one person's truth is different than another person's truth is different, and your truth can change from day to day. And so we live the truth that we find in the Quran, excuse me, to nurture yaqeen. Give me a moment to cough this out. I'll be right back.
Maurice, take a second, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair to everyone who's joined us since the session, who has benefited so far. Any gems that have popped out for you guys that you can share from Sister Sara's first 20 minutes of today's session on yaqeen, on conviction? MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. I see some amazing comments. This is amazing. MashaAllah. I'm enjoying this. What is this? The Quran is an insight for humanity, a guide and a mercy for people of sure faith. Jazakum Allah khair, Sam. And yes, please do share your gems on the student-led Padlet that's also been created by Sister Suri from Australia. The beauty of nature, Sister Sakina. Part of the tadabbur is to always remember that the Quran is talking to me. Tip, insert your name in the ayat. And I think I hear Sister Sara is back.
I'm back. It's so much easier to just cough it out and be done with it instead of trying to struggle for the rest of my talk. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Ali, for your patience. Much appreciated. So, like I said, we live the truth that we find in the Quran, and this is a way to nurture our certainty, to realize that we have guidance at our fingertips, which takes the guesswork out of life. It gives us purpose. It's also an antidote to anxiety and depression as well, where it can really help. Research has shown that even just listening to the Quran can release endorphins, which are like happy chemicals in your brain. And so it helps to navigate negative emotions. It helps to increase your threshold for stress so you can deal with stress better. And it helps us to relax. And so viewing the Quran as a source of guidance and turning to it will help to nurture certainty for us as well. Okay, antidote number three. So here, there were some verses in Surah Al-Ma'idah where a group of people came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were like from the noblemen, the scholars, the chiefs of a tribe of Jews. And when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, you know, if we follow you, the Jews were going to follow out of what we do, and they're not going to contradict us. So, you know, if you want a big following, then, you know, we can get that for you, basically. But here's the condition. We have a problem with some of the people in another group of us. So when we come to you, we're going to ask for your judgment on this matter and make sure you rule in our favor and against them. And then we'll believe in you. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they offered this. And the Prophet ﷺ refused this offer because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent verses telling him to judge between them by what Allah has revealed and do not follow their desires. Do not follow their desires. And beware so they don't lure you away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you. And then if they turn away from Allah's judgment, then know that it is Allah's will to repay them for some of their sins and that many people are indeed rebellious. It's in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 49. And then in verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a very powerful question. And here we see a beautiful antidote to uncertainty. He asks, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Then is it the judgment of ignorance that they desire? What kind of judgment do we want? Do we want judgment based on ignorance? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. But who is better than Allah in judgment for people who have yaqeen? For people who have yaqeen, for people who have conviction in their faith, who's better than Allah in judgment? Whose judgment? Whose standards are better? And so we see that the antidote to uncertainty is to block out the noise, right? And not talking about the lawnmower, right? But block out the noise of people who don't deserve our attention, of information, of opinions, of standards that don't deserve our attention. Choose carefully what and who deserves your attention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us in Surah Al-Rum, Surah 30, verse 60, فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. So be patient, because indeed the promise of Allah is truth. وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. And don't be disturbed by those who are not certain, by those who don't have yaqeen in faith, who don't have conviction in their faith. Don't be disturbed. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about the people who don't have this conviction. We're surrounded by temptations to make choices based on instant gratification, pleasing the people around us, taking the easy way out, living our truth, right? People normalize choices that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they look down on the choices that bring us closer to Him. So if you wear hijab, you might feel excluded by some people. If you don't watch a certain show because it has content that you just don't feel right about, that it's not befitting for you to watch, and everybody's talking about it at school or at work, and you can't be involved in the conversation. If, you know, you see everybody, you know, around you is finding a sneaky way to cheat on finals, and you're worried you're going to be at a disadvantage, That's the judgment and the standards of others. But isn't the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the standards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better for those of us who have, inshallah, conviction? So be cautious about who you surround yourselves by, because our values are naturally going to assimilate to who we spend the most time with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are upon the religion of your best friend. So be careful. Be careful who you befriend. And be careful the information that you ingest. Look at your social media feeds. Look at the influencers that you follow. Look at what people are promoting. Is it consumerism? Are you experiencing like social media envy, where you know that your judgment and your standards are changing gradually, little by little, because of this? Right. So be careful of what you're ingesting. Right now, the final antidote, and then a brief story, if we have time, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first five verses of Surah Luqman, Surah 31, He says, Alif Lam Mim, Tilka Ayatul Kitab Al Hakim. That these are the verses of a book rich in wisdom. These are the verses of the Quran, rich in wisdom. Hudan wa rahmatan lil muhsinin. That it as a guidance and mercy for the doers of good. Alladhina yuqimuna as-salat. Those are who establish prayer. Wa yu'tuna zakat. They give zakat. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ And they have yaqeen. They have certainty in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ That it's they're the ones who are truly guided by their Lord and they're successful. So we see the reward of having this certainty in the hereafter is that you're successful and you're guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do we see here? In this verse that talks about conviction in the hereafter, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the people, the doers of good, the ones who pray, the ones who give zakat. So action is linked to building conviction. Take action in order to nurture yaqeen in your hearts. So certainty, when we are certain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises, when we have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises in this conviction, we can see that in our actions. So if we're certain of the promise of Allah that we're going to be held to account for our deeds and that the punishment of Allah is true, we're going to stay away from what He's forbidden, even if it's hard. If we're certain of the promise of Allah that we're going to be rewarded if we do good, even if nobody's watching, even if we can't see the tangible worldly gain for what we're doing, we're going to still do it because we have conviction in that promise. If we have conviction in the promise that our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib, He's the responder of du'a, and that He responds to our prayers, we're going to continue to make du'a even if we don't see the fruits of it in the way we anticipate. In the same way, that certainty will result in actions. Our actions can help to inculcate certainty. When we choose actions of yaqeen, when we choose actions of certainty and conviction, the more our certainty will grow and the more certain our faith will become. So if every time you have a doubt, you open the Quran, certain that you're going to find an answer there. If every time you see an opportunity to donate, you pull out your wallet, certain that this is a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's going to repay it multifold, then how can your certainty not grow? Every choice that we make is a vote for who we're going to become. Our emotions are really difficult to control, but we have autonomy over our behaviors. So choose the actions that are going to increase you in certainty, in conviction, in yaqeen. And so I want to share a small story from the story of Musa alayhi salam that just ties all of these antidotes together. In one part of his story, you see all of these antidotes to uncertainty unfold. And that's how we're going to end, inshallah. This is the moment that the children of Israel, the people of Musa, are told to escape the persecution of Fir'aun. And they journey into the night and they find themselves with an army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And so when they see this, they say, we're overtaken for sure. Like there's no way that we can get past this. And Musa alayhi salam, he responds, no, absolutely not. Inna ma'aya Rabbi sayahdi, that my Lord is certainly with me, He will guide me. You see already, you just see conviction, you see certainty, right? And look at the difference between these two people. One, this group faced the exact same circumstance, but they face it in such a different way. One way comes from a place of uncertainty, looking at the situation from the lens of human possibility. And Musa alayhi salam comes from a place of full certainty, viewing the possibility as limitless because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability is limitless. And so we see the antidote here that we talked about. He didn't allow the judgments and opinions and standards of others to sway his heart. Musa alayhi salam had complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and his ultimate capability, his justice and his wisdom. He realized that nothing is insurmountable because we have Allah. And then the other antidote that we see is, look, you see the Red Sea split in front of you, right? Where Musa alayhi salam splits the Red Sea. And the people of Israel, Bani Israel, they still disobeyed Allah after that. And you think to yourself, how can you see a miracle like that and disobey Allah when you have such certainty, when you see such a miracle like that? But let's ask ourselves, what are the big signs that we ignore in our own lives? What are the things that exist in our daily lives that our great-grandparents, our own grandparents could never have imagined? A cell phone, you have the entire world in the palm of your hand. That in a split second, you can talk to somebody across the world or research whatever you want. They could never have imagined that. We have self-navigating cars. We have huge metal birds that fly in the sky. They're signs. They're signs, but we take them for granted. We see signs in front of us today and we ignore them. Would we have seen the Red Sea splitting as a miracle as the miracle that it was? Do we see the miracles in front of us now? So looking at the signs of Allah, that antidote, we see that in this story. And then the other antidote is to focus on the truth. The truth which we find in the Quran. One thing that's so powerful that Musa alayhi salam does is instead of thinking, okay, we're all stuck, I've driven them to their deaths, we're trapped. No. Instead of allowing his like despair-filled or fear-filled thoughts to take root, Musa alayhi salam focused on the truth. He focused on Inna ma'aya Rabbi sayahdi, that my Lord is certainly with me, he will guide me. That's a truth. Our minds often focus on fear, not facts. But when you have a connection with the Quran, you have a connection with the truth, you have a connection with facts. And so you can create a narrative in your mind based on strength. We have a lot of voices in our heads. So choose the truth of the Quran, the absolute truth, and that allows you to face whatever challenge that might come your way, even if it's as big as the Red Sea. And then the final antidote that we see in the story of Musa alayhi salam is to take action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Musa. He said, strike the sea with your staff, and the sea was split, each part like a huge mountain. He took action. Never underestimate the impact that one small thing can do to change everything. The Red Sea is 174,000 square miles. That's a huge body of water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed one small step to part an impenetrable barrier. So take one step, one small step today to nurture conviction. One of the antidotes, any one of the antidotes that we talked about. Choose one, take a small step to take action, and imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do to nurture that yaqeen in your heart through that one action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the armor of yaqeen to protect our hearts, guide us to the qualities and actions that are most beloved to Him, help us in our worship of Him, and help our brothers and sisters all over the world who are suffering and end their suffering. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khairan.
Ya Rabbal Alameen, Jazakum Allah Khair, Sister Sara, for that beautiful reminder. And I've already got questions that I'm trying to keep up with in the chat. So for those who submitted, please just resend them to me because I think I've lost them in the Ameens. But we have some questions already. So I'll go to the first one that I've already got saved to the side. So the first one is, are there any ideal types of recitations to listen to promote this release of endorphins?
That's a great question. I can't remember in the research study if they had a particular one, but I will say that it's not the recitation of it. Of course, it's lovely when you listen to a beautiful recitation. There are certain ones that will touch your heart. There are certain ones, like I went to a masjid far, far away recently because the reciter who I used to pray behind in high school and college was coming to Houston for like one day. So I went and dealt with the traffic and everything because it brings a memory up for me personally, right? But everybody's touched by different verses, by different recitations. But the main thing is, it's not about the recitation, it's about the Quran. The Quran is the word of Allah. Even if you're not hearing it, like the research was about listening to it. Now imagine if you're reciting it. Imagine if you're looking into the meaning of it, right? There's a new project. I don't know if you've all seen it. It's called the Clear Quran, but it's the audio version in English. It's awesome, mashallah. So for those of you who are like me, I'm not a native Arabic speaker. And so it's beautiful, like it's beautifully done, but there's nothing like the actual, that's a translation. There's nothing like the actual words of Allah. And I'll mention one thing. This reciter, I remember one day I was in high school or college, and there was a woman who's not Muslim who was at the masjid, and she was sitting there listening and she was crying. And a woman next to her said, yeah, I know his voice is so beautiful, right? She said, it has nothing to do with his voice. He has a beautiful voice, but there's something about these words. There's something about these words. I don't know what they are. I don't understand them, but there's something that is so powerful about them. So it's the Quran itself, not the particular recitation. That is so healing, subhanAllah.
Jazakumullah khair for that clarification. And subhanAllah, it's so funny that you mentioned, I just came across that a couple of days ago and I was binging, because a lot of the Maghrib instructors, their voices are narrating it. So I was like, that was so interesting to see. There was an app, I'll share it on Telegram with you guys as well. That was really interesting. So next question that I have, again, those who pre-submitted, please send them again in the chat. I've been scrolling, trying to find them all. The next question that I have is, conviction and tawakkul go hand in hand. Is tawakkul the outcome of conviction? Just wondering.
Oh, good question. Good question. I'll answer that from a psychological standpoint. I'm sure that there is a very scholarly Islamic answer to this, but I'll answer from the psychological. So you can ask one of the instructors about that, inshallah, one of the other Al-Maghrib instructors. So I think naturally, when you have certainty in something, it allows you to trust. You can't trust in something that feels uncertain. And so that is a beautiful question, because one of the tips that I have that I didn't include as one of the antidotes here, but would be a beautiful antidote to uncertainty, is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't trust someone that you don't know. And so you can't have certainty in someone you don't know, right? So they go hand in hand. So start studying the names of Allah. This Ramadan is the perfect time. So look into, even if you just pick just a couple of names of Allah, where you're looking at the meaning of it and looking at how it resonates in your life. I feel like a broken record. I say this like all the time. It's my, like, it's just my go-to intervention. But it helps with both building conviction and tawakkul, and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. I don't know if you even know this. This has been like the answer to some of the key questions in like the last 3-4 sessions. And no plug, no ad, but like, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Amar Shukri has been doing a Names of Allah series this Ramadan. That's been yes. Our Ramadan series. So I feel like that is the answer to everything, subhanAllah. The Names of Allah, everything goes back to them.
I was so happy when I saw he was doing that series, and I've been listening to it and really, really enjoying it, mashallah. Yes, I have my like the Ramadan series that I try to watch each year, and this particular one by Sheikh Ammar, I'm really glad that he's making it. I feel like it's something to revisit constantly.
Absolutely. I actually saw a little message that touched me, subhanAllah, when you were answering the question about the Quran recitation. Maria was saying from Montreal that I'm a revert from Colombia, and the first time I listened to the Quran at the age of 15, I couldn't stop crying. Now I'm 23 and I reverted February this year, subhanAllah.
MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and just give you a life filled with blessings and closeness to him, and grant you and your loved ones guidance and Jannah. And that's just so, so beautiful. My mom is a revert herself, mashallah. So like hearing stories like that have such a very special place in my heart.
Ameen. And the final question we'll take, just because of the time, inshallah, is how can you decrease negativity bias in light of yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah?
Good question. So negativity bias is basically where you tend to look at things through a skeptical lens. Like if you imagine wearing a pair of glasses that only allows the negative things in life to filter through, right? And it's a cognitive distortion called filtering. And so a lot of us can really struggle with that. Is the human brain naturally searches for things that are wrong, like things that go wrong, things that are problematic and everything. And so that's what negativity bias is. when you have certainty and when you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it allows you to let that guard down a little bit, to be able to start searching for good. And because when you start searching for good, it can feel very vulnerable. It can feel a little bit scary because you're worried that you're not going to be prepared for when the next shoe drops, right? But when you have certainty that if the next shoe drops, if I'm tested again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me what I need to be able to overcome that test. And if I'm tested again, that test is going to bring me closer to Him. And if I'm tested again, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this plan because there's good in it for me. Then it allows you to let that guard down and you can change the glasses and not feel so afraid that you might miss something dangerous that might come your way instead. So I think that actually having certainty and having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a huge antidote to being able to manage those negative thoughts.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sister Sarah. Once again, amazing to have you back on the Ramadan 360 platform. We're looking forward to some amazing projects and work with you, inshallah, in the upcoming year with Al Maghrib. But may Allah put barakah in all of your efforts in every capacity and grant you acceptance. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. It's amazing to have you back, alhamdulillah.
Oh, we'll jazakumullah khair for having me. It was always wonderful to be a part of Ramadan 360, alhamdulillah.
Barakallah fiki. We'll see you very soon. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You too. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alrighty, y'all. That was Sister Sarah Sultan, the licensed professional counselor, one of the newest instructors at a Maghrib Institute on the topic of conviction. I hope that you guys enjoyed that and that you guys have noted some of the reflections that you've been sharing in the chat to come in to our Quran Reflect session with Ustada Taymiyah Zubair. And yes, mashallah, she never disappoints, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that you guys got a taste of her experience. Look out for her name in future programs with Al Maghrib and follow her if you don't already on social media. She puts out some amazing content there as well periodically, and we'll share those links here in the chat. Thank you to Fasleen, who's been keeping up as much as she can. Fasleen is one of our staff members who handles your emails and your inquiries and your chat messages, and I've seen her like plug as many links and as many answers as she can to your questions. And to all of you who've been supporting each other in the chat with questions, with support, with notes, with gems, with links, with granted, the ayat that we've been covering, mashallah, jazakumullah khair to all of you. May Allah make it heavy on your skills. With that, just a couple of quick reminders. This is actually probably the last time I can make the reminder for the Al Maghrib Hajj that's opened up at almaghrib.org/Hajj. 14 of our instructors are going to support you on the Tarbiyah element of that experience. It looks very different this year, and it's all managed from the Saudi authorities when it comes to your logistics. So there's a lot of things to cover, and a last few opportunities to register have opened up. So do take it. I think it closes tomorrow. So, or actually it's Friday. It might have closed already. It might close today. If it still works, put your interest in and they will guide you through that process, inshallah ta'ala. With that, tomorrow is going to be a busy, busy day with Al Maghrib. We have our 10-day Quran challenge that's moved to 11 a.m. EST. So please make sure that you're joining for that if you're registered already, or if you're in Ramadan 360, you guys are automatically registered, inshallah. Of course, we also have our Oh You Who Believe webinar with 13 of our instructors giving inspiring talks, inshallah, from 1 p.m. EST is when that will begin. So make sure that you mark your calendars and you join us for that. And Ramadan 360 will continue as normal, inshallah. So be there with us at 5 p.m. If you still have energy, we'd love to see you continue the journey and not miss a day of the experience. With that said, let's jump in and start our Quran Reflect session with Ustada Taymiyah Zubair. You guys have been doing an amazing job the last few days of having such powerful, concise, strong reflections. And there's so much, material for us for today. So I can't wait to see what everyone comes in with. And Ustada Taymiyah, I know that you've been attending the session. How did you enjoy Sister Sarah Sultan's session today? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I really enjoyed it, especially when she brings in her knowledge of psychology and research. Mashallah, it's always so helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that the comments a lot of people are making is that they found a lot of their healing through their relationship with the Quran. And I think that's what we're trying to facilitate through Quran Reflect, is that getting comfortable, getting, into a groove and building that connection with the Quran, it will change your life and it will become a source of healing for you. So alhamdulillah, we're kind of being able to facilitate that through your sessions. So I can't wait for more of that, inshallah, today. Let's jump right in. Bismillah.
All right, let's begin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. So, al-yaqeen, conviction, certainty. The word yaqeen linguistically is from the verb yaqana, and yaqana is when someone becomes certain or sure of something. And yaqeen is described as certain knowledge of something. You need to know something for sure, and to know it so well, to be so sure of it, that a person has no doubt whatsoever, not even the tiniest, tiniest amount. So it is knowledge that is completely free of any doubt whatsoever. This is what differentiates yaqeen from other types of words such as ilm. All right, yaqeen is such ilm in which there is no doubt at all. And yaqeen is something that brings confidence to the heart. And yaqeen is also something that leads to action. You know, one is to understand something, to know something, but the other is to believe with conviction. When you believe with conviction, you have no doubt at all, then what happens? You actually act on the knowledge that you have. So what translates knowledge or belief into action is actually yaqeen. It is conviction. Now we see that in the Quran, the word yaqeen is used in many different ways. It is used for ilm, for certain knowledge. It is also used for belief, all right? Belief and confirmation of the truth, for tasliq. It is also used for al-mushahada, yani to see something firsthand, directly, because when you see something yourself, then of course you have no doubt in it, right? And then the word yaqeen is also used in the Quran for death. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until yaqeen comes to you, meaning death comes to you, right? Meaning until you die. And the reason why death is called yaqeen is because it is the most certain thing in life, right? It's the most undeniable thing in life, right? What is certain about every single human being is that they're going to experience death. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Now, we see in the Quran that there are actually levels of yaqeen. All right, the first level of yaqeen is to know. All right, and how do you know? Because you have been informed by a trustworthy source. All right, like for example, your mother tells you that this food is very spicy. All right, and your mom, if she tells you something, you believe her, especially when it comes to food, because she knows your spice tolerance level, right? And you know that she's only going to tell you something that is true when it comes to food, right? Because she wants you to eat and she wants you to eat well. So she tells you that this food is spicy. So what do? Because you know that that food is spicy and you're not in the mood to have spicy food, maybe you have a stomach upset. What do? You avoid that food. You don't eat it. So you see how yaqeen leads to action, right? Now, how do you know for sure? Because you have been informed by a trustworthy source, right? So this is mentioned in the Quran, علم اليقين. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين. Then the next level of yaqeen is عين اليقين. To observe and see something for yourself firsthand. Because when you directly witness something, then you have no doubt about it at all. And this is the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal that Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, that, oh my Lord, show me, how are you going to bring the dead back to life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, awalam tu'min, don't you believe? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, yes, I do. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطُمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Right? I want to see so that my heart is at ease. And that ease is what? It comes after you see something for sure. Right? You know something is true because you have been informed by a trustworthy source. But then, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that that laysa al-khabaru kal-mu'ayyana, yani seeing something yourself is not like being informed about it. When you see something yourself, then you know for sure. There is no doubt about it at all. And then there is a higher level of yaqeen, which is haqqul yaqeen, all right, which is absolute certainty of something because you have experienced it, all right? You have experienced it. Taking the example of the spicy food again, right? Your mom tells you it's spicy, so you believe her. But then when you look at the food and you see all the green chili, right? And all the red chili flakes, right? And the peppercorns as well, right? You know, you see the spices, right? You see the chilies. And so you know that, yes, it is spicy. But if you were to put a little bit of it in your mouth, then what would happen? And you know for sure, right? There is no doubt at all. So yaqeen is of levels, all right? This doesn't mean that the first level is not good enough. It is. And this is the yaqeen that we have. And the reason why we believe is because we have been informed of the truth of the hereafter, for example, by who? By Allah, by the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Now, how important is yaqeen? We see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that it is the people of yaqeen who are guided and who are successful. In three places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 4, in Surah Al-Naml, ayah number 3, and in Surah Al-Luqman, ayah number 4. Three places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers who attain guidance, who become successful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different qualities of theirs. Right, the fact that they establish prayer, the fact that they spend in the way of Allah, the fact that they believe in revelation. But when it comes to the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hum yuqinun." They believe with conviction. They know for a fact that the hereafter is true. The day of judgment is true. They have no doubt about it at all. And this is what drives their action. Right? And why would a person get up so early, right? Sacrifice their sleep, wash up, and pray? Doesn't make sense. Why would a person do that? It's because they believe, they know for sure that one day they have to stand before Allah and they will be asked about their prayers. Right? So, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. They believe in the hereafter with conviction. And we see the Prophet ﷺ said that people have not been given anything better in this world than yaqeen and mu'afat. Yaqeen, conviction, and mu'afat, safety and well-being. So he said, ﷺ, that fasaluhum Allah azza wa jalla. Ask Allah for both of these things. And so this should be our, you know, should be a part of our daily du'as, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yaqeen, for conviction, and we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety, for protection, for well-being. And we see that when a person has yaqeen, then their sins are forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no soul that dies while testifying that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. But he testifies to this with what? With qalbin muqinin, with a heart that is convinced, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person. So it's not about just saying la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is about saying this with qalbin muqin, with a heart that is convinced. In another hadith, we learn that when a person, that the person who will meet Allah while mustayqinan bihinna, while being convinced, while being sure of what? Of the fact that Allah is true, the fact that The day of judgment is true. The fact that Jannah is true, An-Nar is true, hell is true, resurrection is true, right? Hisab is true. He believes in all of these things. And he meets Allah with this belief, with yaqeen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit this person into paradise. So this is how necessary yaqeen is for us. And we see in the Quran that Ustaz Asala mentioned this about how it is the people who have yaqeen who benefit from the signs that are around them. Why? Because they approach everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they approach that with yaqeen. They have no doubt in Allah. They have no doubt in the power of Allah. They have no doubt in the mercy of Allah, in the wisdom of Allah. They have no doubt in the truth of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So this is why they're able to benefit from the signs. Which signs? Both ayat kawniyah and ayat shar'iyyah. Ayat kawniyah are the signs in the creation around us. And ayat shar'iyyah are the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, such as the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah number 20, that وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ But for who? لِلْمُقِنِينَ In the earth, there are signs, but for who? Who will benefit from these signs? الْمُقِنِينَ The people who have conviction. And the more they reflect on these signs, the more they increase in their yaqeen. And this is why they're also able to accept the decrees of Allah. And the people of yaqeen are the ones who are able to remain patient in the face of hardship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Sajda, ayah number 24, that وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them leaders, all right, who were able to guide people according to the command of Allah, the law of Allah. But when were they able to lead? When were they able to guide? When they were patient. And they used to be certain of the signs of Allah. So when a person has conviction, only then they're able to remain patient, and only then are they able to call people to the truth. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he made dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartaddu. That, O Allah, I ask you for such iman, for such faith that does not leave. All right, yani, give me such iman, such faith that does not leave. And wa na'iman la yanfadu, and then he prayed for other things as well. So as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that yaqeen is something that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. All right, let's hear from you. Take the mic, inshallah, and again, try to keep your reflections to the point, precise, and under 30 seconds. Jazakumullah khairan. All right, go ahead, Laiba.
Assalamu alaikum. Again, for me today, you know, the essence of the whole lecture today was, alhamdulillah, that when you said, I just wrote it down. What translates your knowledge into action is yaqeen. That was like just, mind blowing. I never reflected on it in that way. But exactly, it's just, I do the actions and I get the knowledge from everywhere regarding Quran, regarding our religion. But I do my actions because I have belief in that knowledge. Like, I have yaqeen that indeed what I am doing is right because there is not I hope you get my point. But
I get your point.
It was amazing. And thank you so much for this line because it's just changed a lot in my mind regarding
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek.
Beautiful. Jazakallah khair. The next person I have in line is Farzana. Go ahead, Farzana.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. When Sister Taimia said that yaqeen is something that makes you patient, I was thinking about the people of Gaza, Palestine. Like, they do not have those weapons. They do not have that sufficient food. They are malnutrition, everything, but still they have the yaqeen. Ya huriyat, ya shahadat. Anyways, they are not losing either freedom or martyrdom. So this is the yaqeen that the non-believers doesn't have, alhamdulillah. And this is something that makes us hopeful about about the yakin of the people of Gaza, inshallah, that this is our yakin, inshallah, at the end of the day, we will win, either with martyrdom or freedom. But this is the yakin. That was the sort of the yakin of the magicians when they saw that mojiza of Musa alayhi salam, and they just believed and they fell into sajda. And that was the sort of yakin that they were not frightened of Fir'aun, of the punishment. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. So this is the thing that the world may say it's a genocide, a massive killing, but we believe that it's a victory, inshallah, to the end of the day. This is the yaqeen that's making us patient and hopeful, alhamdulillah.
Powerful. Jazakumullah khair, Farzana. The next person I have in line is Suwibat. Go right ahead, Suwibat.
Assalamu alaikum. My reflection today is that I thought about yaqeen when the Ustaz Sarah was talking about the names of Allah, and I've been following Sheikh Amar YouTube, the names of Allah, and ever since I started to like understand the names of Allah, like it just strengthened my yaqeen. Like it made me feel so certain that I'm not wrong and that this feeling is real. When he talked about As-Sittir, Al-Mujib, everything he talked about just made me feel like it made me ascertain my will, my religion, and that I'm not wrong, and that knowing the names of Allah truly gives finding the knowledge truly ascertain our yakin, and that's my reflection for today. Jazakallah khairan for this opportunity.
Jazakallah khair. The next person I have is Solange. Please go right ahead.
As a former Christian, I know that building your life around something shaky, like the Trinity, for example, while your brain is screaming to you that it doesn't even make sense, building your life around something shaky like that, that requires actually brainwashing yourself. And the same with putting your trust in a hierarchy of men from the clergy. These people that it's hard to accept their authority, and their rules change from decade to decade, proving that they don't even have confidence in their belief. Putting your trust in that requires brainwashing. So in my opinion, the greatest gift that we have is the fact that we can have yaqeen that the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have truly been sent by our creator. And this is so clearly the truth, and we can have 100% confidence in that, no brainwashing required at all. And when one finally finds this after being in darkness for so long, and one can finally let one's breath out and relax and say, I'm in the right place. Nothing made sense in life before that, and everything now makes sense with yaqeen in Allah and his deen and the aqidah that we have.
Allahu Akbar. Beautiful. Jazakallah khairan.
I mean,
very well said, Solange. The next person I have is Aisha Gomda. Aisha, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My reflection for today is on the fact that when Sister Sarah and Ustaz Taymiyyah were speaking, what came to my mind was the purpose of our creation in the first place. Because we are told that Allah didn't create the mankind and the jinn for anything but except to worship him. And also looking at Sheikh Amar's lessons on the names of Allah, you realize that he mentioned that indeed, Allah doesn't need us, but we need Allah. So once we're created to worship him, and yaqeen tells us that we should put our reliance and our total conviction in the might and the power of Allah, then I believe that this is indeed the religion of truth, and we need to enhance our ability. And also, I want to thank you all so much for this opportunity. It was indeed, this is a gem that every Muslim needs to be part of. And jazakumullah khair for everything that you are doing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Really well said.
Really well said.
A little bit of echoing. Let me see if we can get... Okay, perfect. Alhamdulillah. The next person I have in line was Ragiatu from US. Please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So yes, my reflection for today, can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It comes to from both Sister Sarah and Hustad Taimiyah. Like, say, for example, I always get stressed on over things that I have no control over. So knowing that I have no control over it, yakin of knowing that Allah knows best and He's the one that guides what would the outcome would be, I tend to just like listen to the Quran, specifically Surah Rahman. Just listening to it and reflecting to the words of it, it gives me peace and I stop stressing myself and get like less anxious and just accept whatever the outcome would be.
Alhamdulillah.
Really well said, mashallah. The next question, remove that from your minds. The next reflection is from Brother Hassan, inshallah. Brother Hassan, go ahead.
وَعُبُدُ رَبُّكَ حَتَّى يَوْتِيكَ الْيَقِينِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ. That's all.
بارك الله فيك. Thank you so much. The next person in line is Amna. Go right ahead, Amna. Amna Zulfikar, sorry.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, so what I just learned today, that conviction is the key to unlock the treasure of faith. And when we trust in Allah's wisdom and reflect on His signs, our belief grows stronger. So I guess we all had fears around or like the negative thoughts. So inshallah, I'm going to work on it to navigate them. And as like Ustad Sarah Sultana told, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just splitted the seas for the Musa. So there's nothing impossible for Him. So inshallah, I'm going to work on it.
Inshallah.
Well said,
Amna. Alhamdulillah, good.
The next person I have is Zahra's iPhone. Zahra, go ahead. One more chance for Zahra's iPhone. If you're unable to unmute, no worry. Oh, there we go. We got you.
Hi, I just wanted to mention about Ilyakin, because in my personal experience, I've experienced that when I make dua, like in my doubt of me making dua, it's me doubting Allah's ability to answer my dua. So I found that like when you reminded me of certainty and the importance of certainty, I just wanted to say that basically what I want to say is that certainty is what comes into dua. So the less certain you are, then the less possibility that the dua is actually going to happen, and then the more certain you are, then the more the possibility of the dua is most likely going. Sorry, so the higher your certainty, or the stronger it is, essentially, it means it reflects the dua actually manifesting itself.
Beautiful. Great reminder, Jazakallah Khair, Zohra. And finally, we have Suri. Bismillah, go right ahead, Suri. Our Padlet manager, sorry.
Assalamu alaikum. I just want to say thank you to both Sister Sarah and Sister Damia, because I know I've been watching a lot of Sister Sarah's videos. Me personally, I suffer from stress a lot, and I think it's to do with my job that I do and taking on responsibilities that over the years I realized wasn't really mine. So I started making dua, and my dua became more and more with conviction. And with that, you know, I had started asking myself, what's in my control and what's out of my control? What can I fix and what can't I fix? And then since finding that and, you know, reaching to the Quran, looking for the answers in the Quran, you know, breaking it down, reading the tafsir, the verses that come up every day in my Quran app, you know, I reflect on that. And a lot of, funnily enough, it just syncs with what I'm going through. And so ever since then, I've just found so much more peace of that. And I think for me, and what I found in this session was, it just cements it even more for me, you know, making those dua, like believing in it and putting it wholeheartedly, knowing that no matter what's in front of my way, Allah's there and Allah will always be there for me. Thank you. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallah fiik.
MashaAllah. Really well said, Suri. The next person I have is Zainab. Zainab, go ahead. Oh, wait, I don't have a microphone for you, Zainab, so I don't think you'll be able to speak out loud. So you might have to reconnect your audio. But I don't have anybody after Zainab. Oh, wait, no, I got Rashida. Rashida, we'll go to you first, inshallah, and then Zainab, if you can try to connect your audio.
Assalamu alaikum. I was just giving Zainab a minute. So alhamdulillah. I found that as far as with thinking of conviction, it's also having that trust and also recognizing and using your eyes. There's so many ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that as far as the love for us. And I think of it even here in the world that we live in. It's so many as far as like the foods that we have, the beautiful scenery that we have, as far as that this was not any punishment as far as other religions kind of think about it, as far as that for Adam. This is actually, you know, it can be a paradise in itself, even in the chastisement of it. So how much love and how much it is for the one that created us, or even for the punishment for it to actually have a lot of gifts there. So it's a matter of just looking at the all of the blessings you might and having your Wi-Fi open to it, so to speak. It's there, it's all around you, but it's just being able to recognize it. And that's how I think you can build tawakkul and certainty in your life.
George is super, super well done. While Zainab still connects, I see Maryam. I know you've been raising your hand in the chat, so we'll give it a try, inshallah, on the mic. Please go ahead and mute, bismillah. That's Maryam Ba.
All right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, what I learned about yakin today, and thank you first. Thank you, because I learned a lot and you guys are encouraging me to learn more. Okay, so what I was about to say, for me, what I learned first, yakin is about knowing Allah. Is about reading, is about knowing what you're reading, the meaning of what you're reading, okay? And I'm gonna encourage all Muslims to read, to know what is your faith, what Allah is about, okay? Because if you don't know him, you can't follow him. So my eyes is wide open, because before I was memorizing Quran, like I memorized listening YouTube, but it's been few weeks I try to read. So when I see Bismillah in Arabic, I know this is Bismillah. And sometimes when you read those words, you don't know how to connect them. You're reading it because it's there, but you don't know how to connect them, how to read them. And more you read them and more you know how to read the Quran, is like opening your eye, is like knowing Allah more. So sometimes I was reading some surah, but I don't know the meaning, even the Fatiha. But sorry. Now when I'm praying,
Maryam, jazakumullah khair. Beautiful, really powerful reflection. We're just getting super close to the hour. We got a few more people who want to reflect.
Okay, sorry about that. Sorry,
no worries at all. It's great to hear your voice.
The opportunity.
Jazakumullah khair. Amazing to have you here. I see Zainab's got her mic connected, so we'll take Zainab and Usada, maybe one more person. We'll close off, inshallah. Yeah. Awesome sauce. Bismillah. Zainab, go right ahead. Bismillah. That's Zainab Maryam. Sorry, I should specify with the names we have here. Zainab Maryam, you can give it one more try, inshallah. See if you can unmute.
Me or somebody else?
That's Zainab Maryam.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Okay, we'll just jump on to Carrie Johnson, inshallah, and we'll come back if we can. Sminda, go ahead, Carrie.
Okay, can you hear me, inshallah?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Just a quick reminder, whenever you feel worried about Allah, whether or not He is going to answer your dua, remember in Surah Al-Araf, Iblis asked for respite. He said in verses 14 and 15, allow me respite till the day they are raised up. And Allah said, you are of those respited. He answered the dua of Iblis. So if He will do that for someone who has placed himself in direct opposition to Him, then why would He not answer your dua? Just have patience. Keep making those dua. Keep going. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah khairan.
Well said, mashallah. Wa alaikum salam. And finally, last person we have is Esma. Esma, go right ahead and close us off.
Hello and assalamu alaikum, everyone.
I just wanted to share a personal story that really touched me on today's topic, which is yakin, which is having certainty in the uncertainty. Last year, this time, I actually fractured my ankle during Ramadan, and it was a very scary and dark time for me because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I remember just rushing about, having to go through surgeries and being a cast. And I remember being really sad because that made me feel I could not do my worship during Ramadan. And I remember my mom telling me that, you know, this did not happen without the knowledge and the barakah from Allah. So there must have been a reason for it to happen. And she said that to have yakin, to have certainty in the uncertainty. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing better now, and I'm going for a surgery to remove it this Ramadan. So I'm very happy to see that whatever it is that happens to us, whether it's an accident or non-accident, is definitely not an accident in Allah's eyes. So whatever it is, to have that certainty and let that lead your life. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair for sharing. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Jazakumullah khair, Ustada, and everyone, mashallah, for your amazing reflections here for today's Quran Reflect session on the topic of conviction. You guys are in full form, in the best form now. Alhamdulillah. You're like, I love everyone personalizing these stories of resilience and hope and what's inspired you to build up your conviction as well through the guidance and through the gems that we've discussed today and your personal stories as well. Alhamdulillah. And for all the people who've been sharing in the chat and motivating each other and after everyone shares, hyping each other up. Love that energy. As you guys know, we've been mentioning tomorrow is going to be a very busy day. We have 11 a.m. Quran challenge. We have 1 p.m. The Oh You Who Believe webinar. And then we have 5 p.m. this Ramadan 360 session as usual. Try to get a lot of sleep tonight. Make sure you drink some extra water. Make sure you're in your best form tomorrow so that you can benefit as much as possible and use that to catapult your next 10 days, inshallah, or less than 10 days before our final 10 nights begin of the holy month of Ramadan. Please keep us all on the staff in your du'as. I will not be on your screen tomorrow's. We have some amazing co-hosts and guest hosts who are going to be taking over, inshallah. So please support them, hype them, be as beautiful as you guys always are as a community, inshallah. And I'll see you guys back on Sunday. And I'll be in the background to help out, but I won't be there physically, inshallah. All right. Take care now. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And we'll see you guys bright early at 11 a.m. For now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Wa